The all-new Hyundai 2024 Santa Fe is equipped with everything you need to break free from the dull work week and embark on an adventurous weekend with your family. The all-new Hyundai Santa Fe's features like available H-Track all-wheel drive, standard third-row seating, available dual wireless charging pads ensure you can take on any adventure. Available H-Track all-wheel drives so you can take on the dirt trails and kick up some mud. Standard third-row seating so your whole family can experience the thrill together. Available dual wireless charging pads so no one gets stuck in the great outdoors with a dead phone. Whether you're tailgating out in the dirt lot, Carter Finley, shout out Carter Finley, or whether you're whitewater rafting, taking the entire family on an adventurous trip, maybe you're out camping at Mount Rogers. I used to go as a kid. Wish my parents had a Hyundai Santa Fe. The Hyundai Santa Fe is perfect for your family outing. Learn more about the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe at HyundaiUSA.com. Call 562-314-4603 for complete details.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Everybody, welcome to the Pick Six Podcast, ES Sports Daily. NFL Podcast. I'm Will Brinson. I'm your host. It is Friday, August the 12th. If you're listening to the podcast in audio form, you're watching on YouTube, it is Thursday, August 11th. YouTube.com/pick6. The YouTube chatters are getting restless because we took a while to get going. I fairly blamed you, Breach, but then said that you got the blame because I get the initial blame. I'm the one who pushed it back and messed up your schedule.
Yes, but you know what, Brinson? It's all about teamwork. That's what makes the dream work, right? I showed up for the original podcast on time. You had to postpone that. You showed up for the rescheduled podcast on time. I wasn't quite ready. That's where we are. You know what? And that's just life.
I mean, that is just life. Anywho. We're going, and speaking of people that screwed things up, the people in the chat are mad at Debo because he hadn't sent out the Brinson sucks hats. Clearly,
Debo.
And we also have Ryan Wilson, who is desperately trying to welch his way out of a tattoo bet. We're not going to let him. Debo's got it scheduled. So that's the teamwork right there. You, me, and Debo not letting Wilson do what he does best.
What if Wilson shows up to Nashville next week with like a Welch's grape juice sponsorship? And he's like, you're damn straight I'm welching on the bet. I just made $600,000.
He's like, I'm welching. Here, I'm paying you all back. Yeah, if you gave me like $1,000, I'd let him off the tattoo bet. Should we offer that, by the way?
What about all the listeners, though? Do they get paid?
No.
We get a Venmo $5 to everyone who's ever listened to the podcast. That's the only way he's allowed. No.
I'll let Wilson buy his way out of this tattoo.
I'm not against it. I'm just saying that the listeners don't win.
Right. We would be screwing over the listeners. Which are we doing that anyway? Just kidding.
Every time you don't show up on time for a podcast, you're doing that. So yeah. They know what it's like by now.
Yeah. It's Brad Stevenson in the chat, longtime listener, first time shower upper in the chat. What's up, Brad? How we doing?
So you want to know what's funny? I thought, so his comment has a hyphen in it, and it looked like it said longtime listener, first time shower. And so I thought, why is this guy telling us about his shower habits?
Breach is like, oh, this is just like me, like first time.
Yeah, what's a shower? I don't take a shower in 3 months.
If you do want to pop by we're going to preview week one of the preseason. Smash the like button, hit subscribe. And but while you're at it, by the way, speaking of tattoos, we're a finalist for the People's Choice Podcast Award, Best Sports Podcast. I have perhaps stupidly agreed to get a tattoo myself if we win this award. If you voted in the first phase, there's a chance you can help us and vote again. A quarter of the listeners that voted in July will have gotten an email from the People's Choice. I mean, you can vote again in this stage. You have until September 13th. And if you have a vote, we'd love for you to use that vote on us. It's kind of a weird process.
You know what would be funny? if you and Wilson had to get a tattoo together?
Well, September 13th. So I'll have time to weasel out of my tattoo. Look, if we win this award, I will get a tattoo. I won't be happy.
No, you shouldn't want to weasel out, because that means our podcast is the awesomest podcast in land, and you should want to celebrate that.
I can actually say award-winning podcast host. Like, that's all I care about. Right.
And we'll have to introduce you. That's how me and Wilson will have to say, this is our friend, Will Brinson, award-winning podcast host. Our coworker. I don't know if we should use the word
friend. I will make people. You can call me friend. It's fine.
Okay.
I'll make people introduce me on the radio and stuff as award-winning podcast host. or the host of the award-winning Pick Six podcast.
That sounds better.
I
can take part in that too. I can be like, yes, I'm on the award-winning Pick Six podcast.
I mentioned this to a couple of people. Like, I think it was like Costas on the radio, and then I think to Sully yesterday. What would you think I would get? What kind of tattoo would I get? Because I would be something small, probably on my shoulder, I guess. I don't want to get a tattoo. I think I would want something where, like, people are like, what's up with that tattoo? And I'd be like, actually, I my podcast won an award and I had to get it. As it's like, I want to be able to explain that this tattoo, I don't want to be like a state logo or something, you know? Like,
right. Yeah. So it needs to be a conversation starter.
Correct.
You want to put it in a place where people might see it, but you don't want them to see it all the time. So
a shoulder, I think it's like at the pool, you see it. Like,
you can put it on your foot.
I don't think so, pal. That would what? Crap.
Yeah, but then people won't see it when you have shoes on. They'll only see it in weird situations where you don't have shoes on.
If I'm like walking around with no shoes on, I probably don't have a shirt on either.
I don't know, man.
I don't care about anybody at the house seeing it. Like, I don't have like a conversation with Robbie about it every day. I want to kind of, like I'm saying, like strangers. I think the pool situation is your most likely.
Should you get the Pick Six logo? Don't you want to commemorate the podcast in some way?
Yeah, but we talked about that. But then, like, what if I quit or get fired?
That's true.
Yeah.
I wonder which one of those is more likely. We should do a
poll. It's probably about 50-50. I can get like a microphone stand with a football.
That's not bad.
Yeah.
Yeah, I like it.
Or like a caricature of like, yeah, I mean, but then it's like, so wait,
or you should get the microphone stand with the microphone, but the microphone, instead of like one of these covers, it has like a Brinson hairpiece over it.
That's kind of funny.
Yeah, that'd be hilarious. Yeah. I'd laugh.
Any thoughts, Debo, on what kind of tattoo I could get?
I don't want to think that far ahead.
Okay. I mean, I don't think I'm going to get the tattoo.
Yeah, I don't either. I think we have zero chance, so.
Wait, really? That's
what the Whoa. Heck? Is this reverse psychology?
Zero, less than zero.
That's not how that works.
I'm willing to be proven wrong, but I don't think the fans are going to vote for us.
That sounds like someone who secretly voted for another podcast that he produces.
He didn't. I think he thinks FFT is going to win.
I think he's using reverse psychology to get everyone to vote for us.
Maybe a little.
I know, well, Debo.
I mean, I feel like if you voted for us the first time, anybody who voted the first time. Okay, well, let me ask you. I'm not going to get too off topic on this. We're going to preview.
Oh, we're already off topic.
But like, if you, so they did they take? Let's say there's a just. I mean, hypothetically, let's say there's 10,000 votes in the preliminary thing for it. How do they get the quarter? How do they get the?
It's just random.
So it could be like, so like, let's say there's 10. Let's say there's 10,000 people who voted for the sports podcast award. And
it won't be just anybody. It'll be anybody that voted for any category. So like, say a million total votes. They'll send out an email to 250K of those. What we got to do if you really want to win is kind of rope in the people that didn't even vote for the sports category the first time and don't have any like skin in the game. You got to get those people somehow.
That's a pretty questionable process for doing that. Don't you agree? You're afraid to say that?
I mean, it's interesting.
I mean, like somebody could have logged in to like just do best podcast hosted in Spanish, and there's just not, there's just no interest in sports. It might just.
Hey, Brinson, that's how you win.
Somebody did like the religion.
You got to get in the dirt and play dirty.
All right, let's get in the dirt. That's how I roll, Reach.
Toddler in a sandbox, they get dirty fast.
Anywho, let's move on to preview. Oh, yeah. So anyway, yeah, vote for us. If you got it, if you get the email, vote for us. You're one of the lucky 250,000 people who get to vote in the People's Choice Podcast Awards. Come hit your boys up. Tom Brady out and away from the Buccaneers until after 8:20, August 20th. That game against the Titans in the preseason is, I believe it's being termed as like a personal issue. So, and it doesn't sound like it's something that's like wrong with Brady. Hopefully nobody's sick. Or like nobody, you know, that's sort of how, you know, like when you hear something like this about anybody, not just a football player, but anybody with a work thing, like hopefully everybody's okay.
And Todd Bowles had said at his press conference Thursday that this was a planned absence, that they knew about this before training camp. So if it is someone who is sick, then it's not something that came on surprisingly. It's something that it's known to Brady for a few weeks. So, and it's just interesting when you take out that aspect of it and just look at the football aspect that, hey, look, he's going to miss 10, 11 days of practice. He's already missed multiple practices in training camp. He's playing behind a new offensive line. It is literally like Ryan Wilson's curse of the Buccaneers, that he's the one who said this team is just going to fall flat on its face and be horrible this year and be lucky to win 9 games. And the curse of Wilson is here. This is
this is like peacocking on the Buccaneers' grave. I mean,
it is absolutely nuts. And I mean, Bowles even got asked if Brady would be available in week one. And he said, yeah, I think so.
Like, he said, I think so.
Yeah. Was it? He's like, yeah, he didn't say 100%.
Is he like kind of taking like ayahuasca somewhere? Like, what is happening here? The planned aspect of this is very odd.
And then the other crazy part, and not that I think this plays into why he's gone, obviously, but it's the fact that Tom Brady hasn't had to have a press conference since the Dolphins tampering news came out. Because he was literally featured in the whole entire thing. We all know that the Dolphins were tampering with Tom Brady, and he has conspicuously, he had an excused absence on his birthday.
Conspicuously inconspicuous.
Right. He has not had to practice on any of the days where he would have a press conference, so he has not had one. And I'm sure people are dying to at least hear what he has to say about that.
Yeah, I heard, and by the way, Tua was asked about it and finally spoke up. He said, they chose me and I'm still here. See, if it were me and like somebody in I was like, they were like, Tua, how do you feel about them constantly trying to get Tom Brady to come in and take over? I'd be like, listen, I don't want to say that, I don't want to not say that I'm the best, because I believe I can be the best football, quarterback in football, but I just wouldn't be offended if, if they tried to come and get Tom Brady. You know, it's like if you came and got like Geno Smith, I'd be offended.
Right.
Or even, like Carson Wentz, like that would be offensive. But yeah, Tom Brady.
If you can get Tom Brady, you're getting Tom Brady.
Yeah. It's like when the Broncos signed Peyton Manning, the only way for John Elway to get out from under Tebow mania was to bring in somebody like with like the size of like Manning. Like it had to be like, you couldn't bring in, some average level quarterback and try and get him to replace him.
It'd be like if CBS called you and said, Brinson, we're replacing you on the podcast. And you're like, what the hell? And they said, Jim Nance is hosting. And you're like, oh
yeah. Okay.
Okay.
I was wondering, well, where you're going to go.
He's better than me, so that's completely fine.
Yeah, like, Hey Brinson, Nance is hosting the Daily NFL podcast. I'd be like, okay, I think you have the wrong Jim Nance. One. But two, yeah, sure. Like, I totally get it. Like, I can see why he would quit calling the Super Bowl. And
no, but it's just like, if you get dumped for a legend, you say, all right, well, that's, yeah, I had a good run.
or they're like, hey, Brinson, Jim Rome's taking over the Pick Six podcast. Be like, no problem. I don't blame you. That's the podcast going to be much better now. It'll be on time. It'll have good takes. No prep. Oh my God. All things that we don't do. Yeah, so that's a good call. The Miami thing, like, he doesn't want to talk about it, but I mean, you have to talk about it eventually.
He can't just avoid every press conference for the rest of the season. He's got to do at least one per week once the regular season starts.
That's right. All right, so let's look at some things to watch for week one in the preseason. And for, I think, so this podcast comes out Friday. If you're watching on the live stream on YouTube, we'll talk about the two Thursday games and preview them really quickly at the end of the, at the end. I don't know if it'll be a part of the podcast because we don't want to sound outdated and stupid, but we don't want to talk about them now because that would be extremely outdated and stupid for the people who listen. Friday features Browns at Jaguars, and pretty obvious what the talking point is there, Breach.
Yeah, it's Deshaun Watson. And the crazy thing is he might not even play in the game. We could get to a point where he gets suspended Friday, and if that suspension gets extended past a year. So basically, if you get suspended a year or more, they can hold you out of the preseason.
Okay.
If you get suspended for not a year. So if he gets hit with a 12-game suspension, he can play Friday. If he gets hit for a year or longer, then there's a chance he won't play. And so that adds some drama to this because it just feels like if you're the NFL and you don't want him on the field this year, you don't want him on the field, even if it's just for one preseason game. So I feel like the league, those Goodell comments, or Goodell, what did that guy say? What did
Rob Walton called him Goodell.
Goodell.
Good morning, Roger Goodell. He's like
the old Goodell. I think he made it pretty clear at the owners meeting. He could have deferred and said, hey, look, we're going to let the legal situation play out. No, he threw, hey, Watson's a predator. He deserves to be punished. And that was almost like a message like, hey, Peter, Harvey, get this decision in. We want to get this over with. We don't want Watson playing. So I won't be surprised if we see something come out Friday.
I think we will. I don't think they want him. I don't think they want him on the field. They don't want anybody to have to talk about it. I mean, you still probably have to talk about it on the broadcast anyway. Particularly, remember the preseason broadcast or the local broadcast too. It's not like a national CBS broadcast, but like they want. The NFL does not want him on the field to be a talking point. And I think you're right. Goodell's actual quote, we've seen the evidence. She was very clear about the evidence. She reinforced the evidence. There were multiple violations that were egregious and it was predatory behavior. Like he's going to get a year. I mean, they offered him 12 games and he didn't take it. He's going to get 17 games and they're going to fine him $15 million or something like that.
It's crazy. And you know what though? If Watson does not play, this game's still worth watching because we'll get our first taste of Trevor Lawrence, Travis Etienne, both guys expected to play Friday. And so we get to see what Doug Peterson can do with those starters in there. Obviously, Jacksonville didn't have their starters in the Hall of Fame game, and they looked abysmal. So this will get a taste of what Trevor Lawrence can do in Doug Peterson's system. So I think for that reason alone, this game would still be worth watching.
Yeah. I mean, look, I'm kind of bullish on the Jaguars. I think you probably want to.
Anyone's ever said that, Brinson? Anyone in the world, not just on this podcast.
Yeah, Pete Prisco, maybe.
Okay, yeah, true.
But I mean, I think that like if you are going to bet the Jaguars win total, now is probably a good time to do it because if Trevor Lawrence and Doug Peterson look competent, and let me make sure because I think I just want to double check something before I say it. I doubt that they play the Browns in the regular season if they play them in the preseason. No, they don't. Okay, just making sure. I didn't know if the Deshaun Watson suspension might affect the Jaguars, yeah, if they play them late in the year. But anyway, like I think if Doug Peterson and Trevor Lawrence look good in the preseason, that number could tick up a little bit. So if you like the Jaguars win total, now's a decent time to bet it. Speaking of the Browns, by the way, Craig Raskin in the chat asked, will the Browns trade for Jimmy G if Watson gets more time suspended? Mary Kay Cabot of the Cleveland Plain Dealer or Cleveland.com, excuse me, actually reported that the Browns will have interest in Jimmy Garoppolo if they will consider acquiring him if Jimmy Garoppolo, Deshaun Watson's 6-game suspension increases. League sources told Cleveland.com that seems kind of like a no-brainer. From that perspective, I think the Browns would prefer to find out like sooner rather than later.
Yeah, definitely.
As you noted earlier in the week or last week, Breach, the Browns are the only team that with the salary cap space to trade for Watson. I mean, to trade for Garoppolo, excuse me.
Right. And, you know, if you're the Browns, you're in your Super Bowl window. You know, if Watson had been traded to like the Falcons, you don't care what happens here. You're not going to go out and trade for another quarterback because you're not going to be any better. It just the throwaway season doesn't necessarily matter. But if you're the Browns, you can't throw away the season because the talent around you besides quarterback is so good. And so if you get the Deshaun Watson 12-game suspension or year-long suspension, going after Garoppolo makes sense. But man, that's going to be a tough trade to pull off. And JJ actually reported, and he's been reporting this, that basically the Browns are in wait and see mode and they're not going to make any decisions until the Watson suspension is final. So that's where we are. You know, maybe we see a Garoppolo trade happen next week. But if Watson does get suspended for a year, all the leverage goes to the 49ers. They don't have to give
it. But I mean, the Browns do have Brissett and Jacoby Brissett. I agree. Jimmy Garoppolo is definitely an upgrade. No, but like they're the only team that's trying to trade for him.
Well, right. But if you're the Browns, if you're the 49ers, you're not going to take a fifth round pick. You don't need to do the Baker Mayfield deal. You just hold on to him.
I think it ends up being some like compensatory thing.
All right. One of those deals where if Garoppolo leads the Browns to the Super Bowl, and then the 49ers get a first round pick.
A conditional pick, not a compensatory. Story. Sorry, God, geez, Louise. Too much football for me already. Somebody Grant Marshall in the chat asked, "Where can I get one of those Pick Six shirts to go with my Brinson Sucks hat?" Actually, if you look on the stream right now, you see that thing that the hoodie that Breach is wearing. We actually have a QR code up in above Breach's left shoulder. If you would point upwards, Breach, that's your right shoulder. There you go. That's right. You can scan that with your phone camera, and it'll. Hey, thanks, Breach, and you can go buy Pick Six merchandise there. QR codes are kind of cool. I like them. I like that's a good. I ran into a buddy of mine, Scott Dunnigan, at we went and ate at Standard, which is like the best place in Raleigh to eat. They have this unbelievable, they have a frozen painkiller. Oh my God, it's so good. But we eat lunch there, and we just talk about how like that's one of the best things that like that needs to stick around post pandemic is like all these restaurants have the QR codes that you can scan and like order and have it brought, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
I'm sure
it's nice. I've been to a couple places like that.
Yeah, like you can like just order from your phone and somebody comes over and they're like, "Here you go, buddy." And you're like, "Thanks." Yeah. And I think that the
it's like magic.
I think the wait staff like it too because there's like so much less interaction with people. Which is
if you're doing a podcast like this, I like that we keep it up there. You know, I'll be watching TV, you see like a Burger King commercial and they put a QR code up there and it's up there for 4 seconds. I can't even get my phone out and get my QR reader open that fast. Come on, Burger King or who else does that?
Debo may have just forgotten it was up there and just left it out there. Ashton in the chat asks, "How have you two not talked about the Lions Hard Knocks episode yet?" I haven't watched it yet.
Are we there? That's the next game. Should we just go to the next game and segue?
Oh yeah, the Lions. Good segue. The Lions, Falcons at the Lions. What did you think about the first?
So, I haven't watched it yet either.
Really,
it's on my things to do this weekend. Look, I have a toddler. I can't stay up till 10 p.m. watching this. Like, I'm asleep by like 9. No, I'm not asleep by 9. But
that's
nice. I just haven't found. I've seen all the highlights. I've seen Aiden Hutchinson's rendition of Billie Jean. I've seen Dan Campbell. I've seen Jamal Williams. The fun speeches. So I feel like I've seen all the good stuff. Do I even need to watch the rest of the episode? Ashton, answer that question. Clearly, Ashton has seen the episode.
Yeah,
you have not.
Maybe we'll include that. Maybe we'll talk about it in the mailbag on Friday. I'll watch it. I'll watch it tonight. Apologies. I really should have watched it. I don't really have a great excuse for why I haven't. I think I forgot, and then I was like, "Oh crap! Now I can't watch it." Then I remember it's on HBO Max, which I can watch anytime I want. I go watch it as soon as we get done with this. Anywho,
Brinson has HBO Max.
Falcons at is that a humble brag about having HBO Max?
That's a flex.
Flex on him, kid. I might like the Lions against the spread. I feel like Dan Campbell might have his team trying hard, especially with Hard Knocks being there. Like, you don't want to, lay down on Hard Knocks.
All right. That is definitely true. And he is the type of coach who will probably want to win this game by 7 touchdowns.
Yeah. And I don't think the Falcons, have any, if they play their starters 2 series, they just don't have a ton of depth. Or they have maybe a depth. They're just not very good. Lions against the spread. That's a good look. Let's get D-gen. Cardinals.
It's a pick'em. What? It's a pick'em.
Oh, yeah. That's a bet. Cardinals at the Bengals. Your Bengals. What are you excited to see? Joe Burrow not expected to play, obviously, because as we covered previously, sounds like his appendix ruptured and is going to be out for a longer period of time.
Yes. That is what it sounds like.
DeAndre Hopkins might play in this.
Yeah, I think if you're a Cardinals fan, that's what you want to see, because he's obviously not going to be playing at the beginning of the season. But this is one of those games we are going to see most players on the bench. And so there's not a ton that, I mean, how excited are you about Brandon Allen? You know, those are the things you have to consider when you are thinking about this. I don't think, you know, because most of these games there are, whether it's a quarterback battle, whether there's some rookies you want to watch. And this is really probably the one, this might be the least watchable game of the preseason week one.
I'd be curious if,
and it's the Bengals. I love watching the Bengals.
I'm trying to think what Zach Taylor and Cliff Kingsbury did with their guys last. Sully and I've talked about this a couple times this week or in the past 2 weeks. With the preseason stuff, it's still hard to like get a grip on what these coaches are doing with their starters with the 3-game preseason, because now you don't know like which game is their tune up, which game do they want to have the starters out there. So that will be interesting to see from this perspective, particularly with the Cardinals, because you have, you know, Marquise Brown, if you've acquired, but he's got some legal entanglements and I think a hamstring issue he's dealing with. Kyler Murray got that big contract. Do you want to risk him getting out there, but you want to get him reps with these receivers? You know, he's not going to get it. You know, you can't practice with Hopkins for the first 6 weeks of the season. So maybe you want to force that out there and get them as many reps as you can, so they're, you know, sort of on the same page when they get back. This is a tough one.
The only thing I will be watching for is to see if AJ Green gets an applause in his return to Cincinnati.
Oh, I would think so, right?
But I don't know if he's even going to play. So that's, they'll see him on the sideline. Maybe he'll get introduced.
Well, surely they would like.
Yeah, fans love him.
Yeah, fans like AJ Green, I think, right?
I think so.
Yeah, I think so.
And there's also Jackson Carmen would be the other guy I'd want to watch for the Bengals. He was their guard, struggled, needs to get better, and this is his chance to get better because they're keeping most of their starting offensive linemen on the bench. Mm.
So you think he'll be out there for a lot of the?
I think at least a quarter.
Okay, so the Cardinals last year did not play Kyler Murray in week one at all.
Yeah, I don't think Kyler will play. I think they might have already announced that.
Okay. So Kyler's out. And then the Bengals. Shoot. I almost cussed. That was weird. I don't know why I almost that's like the one that
Cliff Kingsbury said Trace McSorley and Jarrett Guarantano will split time against the Bengals.
And obviously they didn't have Joe Burrow wasn't gonna play in the first preseason game last week either, or last year either. Kyle Shermer actually got the majority of the reps. So who are we looking at? Who's behind Brandon Allen?
On the Bengals left chart? Jake Browning. So maybe we'll see him get some reps. I wouldn't bet on this game.
Yeah, I don't think I would bet on this game either. I think we'll see a lot of Jake Browning. Where did Wilson think Jake Browning went to school?
I don't remember.
God, it was
Louisville.
Louisville. He's like, oh, yeah, Louisville, great. I was like, yeah, absolutely. And he's like, he was like, no, I think we went to Washington. Jets at Eagles. Debo, you pumped to what are you? You're dialed into what the Eagles like to do. What are we thinking we see from them in week one? Nick Sirianni's second preseason.
Yeah, I think it's expected for starters to go a series or two. I would say the guy, if I zero in on one player that I'm most interested in seeing, is N'Kobe Dean. You know, draft drop, injury concerns, but someone that I think could shine in a setting like this. And I kind of expect to contribute once the regular season starts. So if I'm picking one guy, that's who I'm watching Friday night.
The other guy that I think this is kind of crazy, but like, I get it that he's like, hasn't been good, but I mean, it's kind of early to 2 years in, like he's 23 years old for Jalen Reagor. They're going to cut him after 2 years.
A chance. I mean, he That's said crazy. It's what he say. It's humbling to be fighting for a roster spot when other guys from that class are obviously thriving. Yeah, he's got. I mean, Quez Watkins is clearly the number three, and you go down the depth chart a little bit. You have Zach Pascal, who they brought in, John Hightower. Like it's not a given that he's Devon Allen, who's this track star. It's not a given.
That's crazy, man.
That's ugly.
I'm not really trying to rub it in. It was just like everybody mocked Justin Jefferson to the Eagles. And then how he took Jalen Reagor over. That is crazy. But they got A.J. Brown and Devontae Smith now, so that's that they're good to go. Looks like we got Jalen Hurts attempted 7 passes last year, and then Joe Flacco came in for most of that game. And on the other side of things with the Jets, it's obviously just Robert Saleh's second season. Only an idiot could think it was more than that. The Jets scored 12 points in the Snoopy Bowl last year. Zach Wilson went 6 of 9.
Ooh.
And actually got a decent little burn. So you can see a little bit of Zach Wilson. So this is one where maybe we take the first quarter over. First quarter over with the starters or at least the first half over, assuming that the starters are going to play, quarter. It looks like they'll do two couple series.
I feel like Robert Saleh is the type of coach who is going to want to go in and win this game for some reason. Just get everybody kind of amped up. And I think John Harbaugh is the only coach that really talks like this, where we want to win preseason games because just it makes the players feel better. It's that's what you want to do. And if Zach Wilson, I bet he ends up playing. I think he's going to play 1 or 2 series. He could end up playing the whole first quarter. And so then it depends on if the Eagles are playing their starting defense. So, Brinson, maybe it's not crazy to take the first quarter over.
All right. So I got 2 bets so far on these preseason games on Friday.
Take the Jets.
What's that?
Eagles have never in their franchise histories never lost to the Jets during the regular season. So, like, this is the time for the Jets to get their wins in.
Okay, I'm down. Packers at the 49ers.
I think this is the most exciting preseason game of Friday. Because look, Kyle Shanahan said Trey Lance is going to play, so we're going to get a taste of Trey Lance. And then Jordan Love is going to be starting for the Packers. So we get Jordan Love versus Trey Lance Friday night. Does it get any better than that in preseason football, Brinson? I don't think it does.
Maybe not. Let's see. What do they get from? They gave Jimmy Garoppolo a series last year, it looks like. And then Trey Lance ended up going 5 of 14. For 128 yards and a touchdown. Jamichael Hasty got most of the burn. Oh, man, I forgot you can play preseason DFS. Talk about DJ and stuff. You got to be, like, locked in to know what you're doing there. I think Trey Lance will get – I mean, if you're Kyle Shanahan, Trey Lance has been very up and down. You need to get Trey Lance a burn in this game. So maybe we look at a 49ers first half bet, potentially?
Trey Lance,
yeah.
First half cover,
yeah. Do you have it in front of you?
I don't know. What if Jordan Love looks good?
Yeah,
the 49ers are favored by 2.5 for the whole game.
Okay, Green Bay last year in Week 1, Rodgers didn't play. Jordan Love 12 of 17, 122 yards and a touchdown. Really, none of their starters were out there. So AJ Dillon got a. They got 1 carry and 1 catch, and that was really it for anybody noteworthy of the Packers. They only scored 7 points in that game. I like the Niners first half. So we've got 3 bets right now. Niners first half over in the Jets and the Lions money line for Friday night. Don't hate it. All right, let's take a quick break. When we come back, we'll look at the rest of the games coming up on this weekend slate next.
Ready to start talking to your kids about financial literacy? Meet Greenlight, the debit card and money app that teaches kids and teens how to earn, save, spend wisely, and invest with your guardrails in place. Parents can send instant money transfers, automate allowance, and more. Plus, keep an eye on spending with real-time notifications. Join more than 6 million families building healthy financial habits together on Greenlight. Get your first month free at greenlight.com/odyssey. That's greenlight.com/odyssey.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Saturday, the Seahawks at the Steelers.
Let me ask you, Brinson, how many of these games are you going to watch? They start at 1 p.m. and the last game is at 10 p.m. Eastern. So you could literally sit in front of your TV for 12, 13 straight hours.
I think I'm taking Robbie to a Durham Bulls game on Saturday night.
Oh, that's exciting.
Yeah. We're going to take the train over to Durham. So I'll probably watch the maybe we'll go to the pool. I don't know exactly. I'll probably have to go back and watch them on Game Pass, which I don't hate, because, you know, a lot of these you can kind of gloss through. To, you know, you can look at the stat sheet and be like, all right, no starters played. I'm not going to spend a ton of time with that off.
One half the time, you don't even need to watch the second half.
Right, exactly. Seahawks at Steelers, though, is definitely watchable because we get the quarterback battles. The Mason Rudolph, Kenny Pickett, and Mitchell Trubisky battle versus Geno Smith and Drew Lock. I mean, that makes me want to take the Steelers.
Yeah, Trubisky is going to be the starter for the Steelers. We know that. And, I mean, Geno Smith or Drew Lock is just...
When you say the starter, do you mean this preseason game?
This preseason game, yes.
Because they didn't play Ben last year, but that's not a surprise. Haskins got, RIP doing Haskins, got 16 of 22. Mason Rudolph was 8 of 9, and Josh Dobbs was 5 of 6. So they're willing to wing it around a little bit in the preseason with these backups.
Yeah. But last year, the Seahawks, Geno played in the preseason last year, didn't do well. Sean Mannion did well. So it's really, it's tough to say. I like the Steelers just because you're going to have three okay quarterbacks playing.
That's what I'm saying. You're going to have a good quality preseason quarterback play for the most of this game.
Right.
And I would think that the Steelers, if the Steelers, do you play Kenny Pickett second or do you play Mason Rudolph second? I might do Mitch Trubisky first quarter, Mason Rudolph second quarter, and give Kenny Pickett the whole second half.
Whole second half. I like it.
Because you're going against like the scrub of the scrub defenses for Seattle.
The Steelers are favored by 3.5 overall.
You're not going to get any exotic blitzes. They're not going to throw any of their good stuff out there in terms of the back.
Like, let him build up his confidence.
Yeah, exactly. Is that game? Okay. That game is at Pittsburgh, right?
Yes.
Oh man, I think the Steelers are a bet too.
That game is at Heinz Field.
Oh my god, the Seahawks scored 7 points. The Seahawks just don't seem.
Brinson, you were supposed to correct me. It's not Heinz Field.
Oh, Accenture, whatever it is. I'm not Accenture.
I don't know. I don't even know.
It's the Steelers Stadium. It's gross. Yeah, it looks like they didn't. None of the starters really got action for the Seahawks last year, but I think that it'll be different this year because you've got that, the quarterback battle that you actually have going on. So like, you'd be a little careful here with the Steelers just because, you have a motivated Geno and a very motivated Drew Lock who's trying to catch up with Geno, and could end up being.
And the other thing to think about when you have a QB battle is that you're probably going to see the starting offensive line. So for instance, the Bengals are going to be sitting all of their starting offensive linemen. So you send Brandon Allen, he might get killed out there. You don't know.
And they don't care.
Right. They don't care. But if he does, it's hard to bet on the Bengals as a favorite because you don't know what's going to happen. For these games, let's say Pete Carroll decides, hey, I'm going to play my second team defense for most of the game. Then you have Mitchell Trubisky and the Steelers starting offensive line going against the Seahawks second defense. And so those are things you have to take into consideration is that, it might be a mismatch.
All right. That's a good call. I think I like the Steelers too, but maybe Steelers team total over is the play. Because I don't trust the Seahawks. I don't trust the Seahawks to just score points just because it's Pete Carroll, but I do trust the, I do trust the Steelers to put up some points in that game.
The over under, the lowest over unders this week, the lowest one is 30 points.
That's really low.
30 points.
What's the highest one?
I think 37. That's Panthers, Commanders, and Chiefs, Bears.
Panthers and those Colts scored 39 points last year.
Oh, just kidding. It's Browns, Jags, 37.5.
There you go. Spicy.
Probably because maybe Deshaun and Trevor and all on the field.
That under is worth a look if we think Deshaun Watson's getting suspended tomorrow or today.
Yeah.
the Panthers at the Commandos. The Ron Rivera revenge game. Also, as QB Film Room in the chat points out, Heinicke versus his former team, and Sam Howell versus the team that he, I don't think he grew up rooting for him. Because Sam Howell's not a, I think he's a North Carolina guy. Maybe he is. Yeah, he's Waynesville. Never mind. Yeah. Well, he was about to go to FSU. What are you thinking, Sam Howell? So yeah, the local kid, grew up rooting for him, and now gets maybe a little, hoping to get some, I don't know, revenge against the team he grew up rooting. I don't know if that really qualifies. Last year, Carolina played PJ Walker. He went 10-21 and started. So they didn't play Sam Darnold. But this year, they had the quarterback competition with Baker and Sam. So I would, Baker Mayfield, of course, I would expect that we see, they haven't even announced who's going to start, I don't think.
I mean, I feel like both guys will get a good chunk of playing time.
We were talking about this yesterday because we were just discussing quarterback battles, but I would bet that it's like Baker starts week one or Sam starts week one and then Baker starts week two or something like that. And then they announce the regular season starter ahead of week three and then the backup starts week three. That would be my guess how Matt Rhule handles it.
And Ron Rivera has already said that the Commander starters will play 15 to 20 snaps. So you're looking at probably two offensive possessions.
What's the over-under in this game?
The over under, it's a high one. I remember 37. Yeah, they know.
I think we could see the over there because Carson Wentz, Ron Rivera has been highly motivated all offseason to make Carson Wentz look good. I think he'll be motivated to make Carson Wentz look good in the preseason. You want to give him a couple shot plays down the field. You complete one of those long ones. Everybody's happy. You get him off the field. And then the Panthers again, like I think you probably give a quarter to Baker and a quarter to Darnold. And then you give the second half to Matt Corral and PJ Walker still on that roster? Probably. Yep. Matt Corral, PJ Walker, whole second half, right?
Baker and Darnold. That is going to be.
I mean, look. We think Baker's going to win the competition, but like, I don't know. So I need to be writing these down. Damn it.
You're not writing your bets down? What's happening here? Who's keeping track?
I'm assuming Debo's writing them down. That's usually.
There is a 0% chance Debo's writing them down.
Less than zero, as I like to say.
That is, but this is also an interesting game, though. We talked about the Steelers and Seahawks being fascinating because of the QB battle, but seeing what Carson Wentz can do in this offense, because like you said, Ron Rivera is trying to make Carson Wentz happen. He just keeps talking him up. It's like he's trying to convince himself that they can win with Carson Wentz. That's how bad things have gotten. And then obviously, it feels like with Carolina, that's Baker Mayfield's job to lose. And as long as, you know, but what if he goes out there and throws three interceptions against Washington? Then maybe that flips things a little bit.
Yeah. I mean, yeah, look, man, if I think that Baker would have to stink for him to lose his job, but yeah, Baker could stink and Sam Darnold could look good. And then Sam Darnold could win the job and win a couple games and then stink. And then Baker comes in. Okay, I mean, this could go any number of directions, but I would, I was talking to Darren Smith out in San Diego about this on Wednesday afternoon. And he was like, I haven't been paying a ton of attention to the Panthers, but he's like, I sort of feel like because they have more invested in Sam Darnold, they're more inclined to make him work. And I was like, and my theory is that they view this whole ugly Frankenstein blob of quarterbacks as like, they just want one to work out so people stop asking about their terrible trades and like their terrible decision making when it comes to the quarterback. And they don't care if it's Baker, Matt Corral, Sam Darnold. One needs to work out this year and they need to win like 7 to 9 games. And then everybody can be like, okay, we got a slight building block. Let's look at year four for Matt Rhule. Chiefs at Bears.
The Bears have already said they're playing like all their starters.
Matt Nagy. Revenge game.
Don't underestimate it.
Yeah, I would guess though, like Andy Reid does not. I need to look at his week one from last year. They scored 19 points against the 49ers. Mahomes actually went 1-2 in that game because we were just assuming Mahomes was just not going to play and he came out with the starters. They had Clyde Edwards-Helaire out there for a little bit. Tyreek Hill got a target for. All right. I mean, Kelsey and Tyreek Hill both got a target and caught a pass. So maybe we'll see a little bit of him. Doesn't look like he really ramps up the offense, though. It wouldn't be crazy at all if he let Matt Nagy call plays for this game.
That would be hilarious.
I wouldn't be shocked at all. I mean, I guess that would be bad for Bieniemy, but.
And Nagy just keeps dialing it up into the fourth quarter, even though the Chiefs are up 41-7.
Yeah. So you say, so you think Chicago will. Wow. Last year, Nagy played. Justin Fields had 14 of 20.
No, I think the Bears have already said they're going to play their starters like 15 to 20 snaps. So I think we'll probably see them for at least the first quarter.
So Bears, no bet.
So there. Just put Andy Reid never tips what he's going to do. He's just going to do whatever he wants to do.
Well, he could come out and have Mahomes dial something up just to rub it in the Bears' face for firing his boy. Like, I mean, nothing, anything is possible. So
Andy Reid said Thursday that Patrick Mahomes and his starters will play the first quarter.
Oh. Wow.
That, or maybe he'll just play part of the first quarter.
Yeah, but he'll probably be pretty conservative with what he does. You know how he is. He rests everybody late in the season. He's not going to, you know, he just wants to ramp him up. So probably a stay away for me on that game, but I'll be interested to see what I think the big takeaway from this game is potentially like who's out on the field for the receivers. Where are they lining up and what are their responsibilities, right? Like, is Juju Smith-Schuster, we would presume he's out there, but is it possible Sky Moore, you have Mecole Hardman, you have Marcus Valdes-Scantling. Like, what kind of reps do those
guys? You have Josh Gordon.
I'm just saying, that's been a big, no one really knows how this is going to play out with those wide receivers. And so I think that's kind of interesting. Does he tip his hand at all if he leaves somebody out there longer or somebody comes in with the second team, et cetera, et cetera. All right. To know about there, but that's a big fantasy game. You'll see ADP for these Chiefs wide receivers shift dramatically based on what's going on here. Colts at Bills.
Ooh.
Somebody in the Brad Stevenson said, watch the Bills Saturday so you can say you watched the best team of all times. Best team of all times preseason game one. The Bills could be the best team of all time. That feels like a stretch, but they are a very good football team. Sean McDermott is pretty predictable in what he does. He did not play Josh Allen a single snap in week one last year. Devin Singletary got some run. Matt Breida got some run. Stephon Diggs did not play at all.
Yeah, McDermott has already said that Allen will not be playing against the Colts.
Yeah. So
by the flip side, Matt Ryan is expected to play one quarter.
What is the line for that? Do you have the first quarter line by chance?
I do not. I don't have the game line. And that is that the Colts are favored by 1.5. Let me ask you a question, Brinson, that's not necessarily about this game, but about these two teams. Of these two teams, which one finishes the year with a better record?
The Bills.
Oh, I think it could be the Colts. How about who goes further in the playoffs?
The Bills.
I think it could be the Colts.
That needs to be when they make us do these bold predictions. That needs to be one for you.
That the Colts are the best team in the world.
You're big high on the Colts.
Jumping on the Indy.
Case Keenum and Matt Barkley backing up for Buffalo. They can actually do some damage. Like, they're not afraid to let their backups get loose. Then the Colts have Nick Foles, Sam Ellinger, and Jack Cohn. I don't think I would touch this game. And he scored 21 with Jacob Eason and Sam Ellinger against the Panthers last year. I'm trying to make sure it wasn't like a fumble by PJ Walker. No. I don't think I'm touching that game either. All right. Dolphins at Buccaneers. Obviously, we know no Tom Brady. It's hard to – with three-game preseason, it's difficult to say, okay, here's what – you know, you can't look back at like Todd Bowles' time with the Jets and really discern anything from what he might do with three-game preseason. And we don't know that he'll necessarily do what Bruce Arians did. But Blaine Gabbert and Ryan Griffin got a lot of run. So did Kyle Trask last year. They only scored 14 points. Leonard Fournette had two carries. And I don't think they had Mike Evans, no Chris Godwin out there last year. So if Have you seen anything about what Todd Bowles said aside from Brady not playing?
We know that it'll probably be Blaine Gabbert.
Yeah.
And Kyle Trask. And that's it. Yep. But we also don't even know if Tua's going to play.
Oh, that's a good point. If they don't play him after all this hype. Anyway, again, we got a new coach, Mike McDaniel. Don't know what he's going to do. Could end up sitting Tua for all we know. So that's probably a stay away on this game, I think.
I think it's crazy that once again, this is the week that Brady is gone.
They're playing the Dolphins, yeah, right?
Think this is all they would be talking about. All anyone would be talking about is this tampering stuff if Brady was around, and he is not around. So now you just have a boring Buccaneers-Dolphins game because there's not going to be starters playing.
That's a very good point. Brady leaves the week they're playing the Dolphins. It is kind of...
Of all the weeks.
And it's a scheduled personal matter.
Right.
Because you can't question it because it's a personal matter. You know, you don't want to be like... You can't be like, well, how did it...
No, you can't, because you already said at the top of the podcast, if you question it and there's something serious, then you are just a total...
Immediately, I thought of an elderly family member.
Right.
And you don't want to... Yeah. So, well played, Tom, if that was... And if somebody's sick, obviously not well played. And we hope everything gets better. Let's move on right along for that beautiful segue. Saints and Texans. The Texans have a new coach, and so do the Saints. But both coaches were on the coaching staff last year. How bizarre. That doesn't happen very often.
How bizarre.
No, don't. Somebody tried to sing Ace of Base the other day before like a group function. I was like, if you start singing that, I'm leaving. That'll be stuck in my head for the rest of the time. Jameis Winston 7-12 last year against the Ravens in their loss. Taysom Hill got plenty of run at quarterback, and so did Ian Book. They attempted a ton of passes last year. I'm curious to see how similar the setup will be for Dennis Allen as it was with Sean Payton.
And this is must watch territory for me. Why is that, Brinson? Because we could see Andrew Gregory Dalton on the field.
We will see him on the field.
We have, I've been reading that Andy Dalton has been tearing it up at Saints training camp the past few days. This is not a joke. This is real life. This is real life. And you can't believe that he is actually looking good, and that Dennis Allen is going to watch him in training camp and be like, whoa, should I just start him over Jameis? So we do know that Jameis is dealing with ankle injury, not playing. So I would be surprised if Andy Dalton gets a quarter, maybe even a little bit more.
Ooh, Adam Shaheen failed his physical with the Texans. He's going back to Miami. It's two teams we just recently talked about. Davis Mills is 11-22 with 112 yards and a pick last year. Do we think, I feel like Lovie Smith could handle this completely differently than David Culley. I do think Sean Payton's, how Sean Payton handled things in the preseason with a three-game preseason could influence how Dennis Allen handles it. I don't think how David Culley handled it will influence how Lovie Smith handles it. So tough to really say what happens here. But, Davis Mills, young quarterback, you want to get as many reps as you can. So it wouldn't be shocking if they decided to give him some decent burn. Cowboys at the Broncos. I mean, Denver has to show off Russ, right?
I don't know. You don't want to send him out there. Maybe he plays a series, but I don't think it's a home game.
It strongly hints at no Russell Wilson in week.
Yeah, you don't want to risk it. You just don't want to risk it. That's it. He's your investment. The future of the franchise is on Russell Wilson's back, and you don't want to.
He's just not playing. Look, he said, "Ask if he would play week in Saturday." No, I don't think so. A guy of his caliber that's been doing it this long, I don't think it's as important. You always have to look at his risk reward. Of course, you want to go out there and play football all the time. I think that's why we practice. When you get there, he's like, the number one most important thing is getting the guys healthy going into the season. That's all that matters. Okay, that's worth noting. So it sounds like Nathaniel Hackett is a big time. I'm not playing my dudes in these games, guy.
So now we got Josh Johnson.
All right, so let's add. What did Mike McCarthy do last year? Mike McCarthy's easy.
The Broncos are favored by 3.
That's weird. Did Dak play? Dak didn't play last year in Week 1 either. Oh God, they played nobody. They lost 19-16 to the.
The Cowboys lost all their preseason games. McCarthy does not give a lick about the preseason. Mm. They lost to Jacksonville by 20 points. That's all you need to know about how the Cowboys.
What's the total on this one?
Are they playing Broncos? It is 31.5.
Oh, this is the lowest one? Is that the?
No, 30. Rams Chargers is the lowest.
Yeah, because they don't play. Rams and Chargers don't play anybody.
Yeah.
You can't take. You can't take an under 31.5, can you?
No. I mean, you can.
Let's see.
Just think about it. Even the Hall of Fame game last week had that over under 32, and the under looked great It's just preseason football. You get these trash touchdowns at the end.
I was an idiot for not checking out. Josh McDaniels is like 6-0 now to the over in preseason games in his career. Should have looked at that.
Oops. And he was playing in front of his home crowd.
Yep. Cardinals, man, the Cowboys don't play anybody, but they run their offense. So they ran plenty of pass plays. They just don't play any of their starters. So we should see almost no starters in this game whatsoever.
Right.
Just trying to see. Yeah, and Cliff runs his offense too. Like they scored 16 points in the first half and then 19 in the second half.
This is basic. This game starts at 9. Rams Chargers starts at 10. You probably don't really need to watch
anything
of either of those games.
That's right. Yeah. Rams Chargers. And we know like Brandon, Sean McVay doesn't play his guys at all. And I believe Brandon Staley is the same way, right?
Yeah, Staley is not going to send anyone out there.
Oh, these two teams played in week one last year and they scored 19 points. It was the easiest under of all time. Chase Daniel went 15-24 for the Chargers. And
19
Hodges went 11-19 for the Rams. Like they're not.
You want a fun fact about the Chargers? 3 preseason games last year, not one of those games had a total above 28 points.
They scored 6 points. 7 points. Brenton,
they didn't play in a single game that cracked the 30-point mark in the preseason last year.
I think we have to take the under.
I mean, it's a low under, so it's a little scary.
Under 30. We're taking the under. They're not gonna try. It's two coaches who believe the same thing about the preseason, that you do not want to get your guys injured. One guy is coming into a season where like he's at least like, I'm not saying Staley's seat is warm, but like the Chargers need to make the playoffs. And Sean McVay's got complete carte blanche to do whatever the hell he wants because he's coming off a Super Bowl win. Like they're not playing anybody in these games, and they're going to be boring vanilla offenses. We're taking the under 30 in that game. Sunday, finally, Vikings.
Sunday.
Nice job, Bridge. Vikings at the Raiders. Oh, what's the over under? Oh crap, it's the Raiders. Dang. What's the over under? What's the do you have the team total for the Vikings in front of you?
No, but the over under for the entire game is 34, and the Raiders are favored by 3.5.
I think the Raiders are a bet here because we saw McDaniels run his, like, didn't he run his regular offense? He tried. They went to 27-11. They blew the Jaguars out. And where does Kevin O'Connell come from?
The Rams.
Let's see. Kirk Cousins preseason.
O'Connell has said he has not decided whether Cousins is going to play. You know, because here's the thing about the preseason is we know what McVay and Staley want to do, but the one thing you have to keep in mind if you're head coach is if you're implementing a new system, are you happy with your quarterback only running that in camp, or do you want to see them run that offense against an opponent? And so both these coaches are in that situation. Nathaniel Hackett said it's the risk reward. Do you want to see Kirk Cousins try and run O'Connell's offense against the real defense? Or do you just say, you know what, screw it, he's not going to play, we'll go for week one? And if you're McDaniels, do you want to see Derek Carr try and run your offense against an actual opponent? Or do you say, screw it, we'll just go to week one?
I think we're going to bet the Raiders on Sunday. Raiders -4.
Ooh.
And Vikings team total under when it comes out. If... Ooh. I think with an analytically driven GM and a coach who comes from the McVay school of thought, has been like working with McVay for a really, really long time. He was with him in Washington and he knows Cousins too. So Cousins knows his system, you know?
Right.
So I think the Raiders roll them in this game and then because the Vikings don't play anybody. So that is what I'll be looking at for this game. So I think we had the under, like jump on the under in the Browns Jaguars game or the Browns team total under. If you can find it if the Deshaun Watson news comes out, otherwise stay away from that. Lions on the money line, 49ers first half, Steelers -3. Oh no. What's the over on that game? Steelers Seahawks over.
Opa.
Over. Panthers Commanders over 37. Rams Chargers under 30. Tempted to take the Broncos Cowboys under 2.
You're going to pile on the unders?
Just says late night unders, just no points scored.
Under pants. I said it.
All right, we'll do under 31.5 Broncos, Cowboys and Broncos. And then the Raiders -4. So that's 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, maybe 8 potential bets for the preseason week 1. Devo, do you want to talk about the, just keep going and talk about this thing, or do you want me to do the wrap up thing?
Yeah, finish up just for these Thursdays.
I think I could
have checked. People will be able to see how much you can predict the future.
Okay. All right. So we were recording this at 3:30 on Thursday afternoon. There will be
two games.
The Giants and the Patriots. Okay. Bill Belichick has said that the Patriots will not play their starters at all. So we will not get to see Mac Jones uncork or un-McCorkle the Joe Judge, Matt Patricia offense, which is disappointing.
Well, I think one thing, though, that is still going to be interesting is just watch how the Patriots offense functions, who's going to be calling in the plays. And obviously that's going to be tough to see on television. But you know, Belichick has been so mysterious about how the offense is going to work this year that I think this game is at least worth watching to see, is it going to be Patricia signaling in? Is it going to be Patricia signaling to Judge, who signals to Belichick? How confusing they're going to make this entire system, because we have no idea and they're not giving us any hints, and this is going to be our first chance to see it.
Brian Daboll said that he anticipates all the team's healthy players will get on the field Thursday, although for how many snaps remain to be seen. I think it's an individual basis with the players. Some guys have played a lot of football, some have played less. Everybody's in new systems here with our system on offense, our system on defense. Kicking game is similar, but I think it's important to play football to have live reps. How many reps that's going to be, I can't tell you right now. I anticipate all of our guys playing on Thursday. So Giants first half is a bet. I think the Giants roll the Patriots here, and I don't think Belichick gives a crap.
Ooh.
I think Belichick will keep it super simple. Let me see what, make sure. Because
you don't like the Joe Judge revenge game angle?
I don't think he cares about Joe Judge in the preseason game.
Ooh.
They scored 22 points last year. Mac Jones, it was 13 of 19 for 87 yards. Yikes, that isn't not throwing it downfield very much. What's that? Like, yeah, 4.6 yards per pass attempt. Rhamondre Stevenson was a breakout preseason star with 10 carries, 127 yards, and 2 touchdowns. Wow. He had that 91-yard run. That's right. God, because I like the under in this game because weren't we watching this at CBS?
Brian Hoyer, you got a veteran QB, though, for the Patriots.
Yeah, I just think that in order to prevent, like, I just think they're going to pound the ball. The other thing, too, is Damian Harris has been rumored in trade talks, which is super weird because, like, this time last year, they traded Sony Michel to the Rams. Or was that during the season? That was during the season. Anyway, they, like, Damian Harris, if they want to showcase him for a possible trade, this is the time to do it.
Well, what about the win one for James White angle, if you're the Patriots?
I mean,
James White retires out of the blue.
Super sweet feet.
Oh, sweet feet.
Watched him beat the Falcons. Oh, you weren't there, actually.
I was there, Brenton. I literally sat next to you at that game.
Oh, you were there. That's right.
It was in Houston.
Yes, you were there. Sorry. Oh, that's right.
Guys, I sat next to Brenton at the Super Bowl, at Super Bowl 51, and he just tried to pretend I wasn't even at the game.
I thought it was your Vegas game. Sorry, I forgot.
Let's see. I'm going to try and pull up a phone picture of me and Brenton together.
There's one of me and you and Johnny Manziel.
Yeah. How was I not there?
I know. Sorry.
We literally got a picture with Johnny Manziel.
I like the Giants. I got 2.5 earlier today. So that would be, I think the Giants cover. I hope they cover. And then Titans at Ravens. Obviously, the Ravens 20 consecutive preseason wins. Does Mike Vrabel end it tonight, Breach? Or did he end it to whatever the hell the time is?
I do not think he ends it.
I think the Ravens win. John Harbaugh wins.
Because the win streak becomes a thing, and like everybody wants to keep it alive, so everybody plays harder. It doesn't matter who's out there. And also, I like Tyler Huntley. I think he's actually good. And so when you have a backup quarterback who's good, that automatically gives you an advantage over the other team, because most teams don't have, who the Titans going to throw out there? Logan Woodside, and then probably Malik Wallace, which will be interesting to see him get some snaps. I don't think Tannehill's going to play. So, yeah, I'm going to take Tyler Huntley over Malik Wallace and Logan Woodside. There you go, Brenton.
Yeah, there it is.
Brenton, can you speak up a little bit and correct Breach there so we don't get people?
Malik Willis.
Willis. Oh.
What did he say?
I said Malik Wallace.
Malik Wallace, yeah. Oh, wait. Well, what did Vrabel say anything? I can't find anything about it.
He is not. I know Tannehill's not playing.
Oh, Tannehill's not playing. Okay. Oh, interesting. The Tennessean notes that Logan Woodside is viewed as QB2 after backing up Ryan Tannehill since 2020, but third-round pick Malik Willis will get a chance to earn Woodside's reps in the preseason. So that is definitely something to watch. I think what's the Ravens like minus four here?
It depends where you are. They're -3 on
negative three.
They're -3. They're favored by 3 on Caesars Sportsbook.
Okay. I like the Ravens.
Yeah.
Baltimore.
Because what if Malik Willis isn't great and just gets eaten alive?
Which is very possible. You know what's probably a pretty good bet is a Baltimore New York Giants money line parlay. That's what I'm going to put down to tonight.
Ooh.
All right. Let's see how right we are on Thursday games. It's hard to be right on the preseason games, but you know, they are fun to watch. Just like this podcast on YouTube, youtube.com/picksix. Go force me to get a tattoo. If you get an email from the People's Choice Podcast Awards, go vote and vote for the Pick Six podcast. Or if you know somebody who might, if you know a voter, go tell them. Vote early and vote often. That's right, Breach. Thanks for listening. Thanks for watching. For Breach, I'm Brinson. We will see you guys later.
Jeremy Renner returns to Paramount Plus for a brand new season of the original hit series, Mayor of Kingstown.
My job is to create a balance, avoid a war.
From executive producer Taylor Sheridan, co-creator of Yellowstone.
There's some new players in town, and they brought the flag.
And Antoine Fuqua, director of Training Day.
I know it's always been a war zone, Mike, but this is next level.
The mayor is back in business.
Are you warning me?
You're going to find out.
Mayor of Kingstown, new season streaming June 2nd, exclusively on Paramount Plus.